listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session at the Nasty Table.
Something obstructing the path ahead. Two figures are having a discussion. They're merchants. Hammy is going back to King Kedin. Jigix, he's going south to the Ebon Mines.
The Warforged seems to be walking and kind of dragging its hand.
A banner. Tattered red cloth with a trapezoid on it.
These are orcish banners.
Bits and pieces of what compose a Warforged surgically inserted into this horse.
Is there still a hand sticking out?
Yeah.
Give him a good fucking crisp dab.
And the hand squeezes back. Fire a beam of energy out of its chest. This swipe goes across the creature's chest, and the light from its eyes fade.
Well, I pull up late.
Crazy guy.
All the time. So funny.
But dude, I've been trying to fish lately. That's what I've been doing.
You want some pointers? Yeah, you want some fucking pointers, dog?
Dude, honestly, if you guys have anything... Bro, I haven't caught a fish out here.
Where are you fishing at? What are you fishing with? What are you using?
I'm fishing just like small creeks and ponds.
Moving water or still water?
Creeks are moving, and the ponds that I go to still. So the ponds that I've been at, I haven't seen any bass. I've only seen like bluegill and like small guys, like panfish.
There's probably bass.
Yeah, if there's bluegill, there typically are.
Yeah, but it's like a super, like the pond has so much vegetation in it that I just can't fuck, like the pond sucks. So I've been going to the creek more, but.
Weedless rig too.
A frog.
What? A frog?
A frog on the top of the water.
Yeah. I don't see any. Throw a frog on the top of the water. Is that what you just said?
A topwater frog bait. Yes.
They make frog. They make baits that skim on the top of the water that don't even go in the water. They just skim along the top. One of them is a frog, and that tends to work.
It's like one of those like squishy.
It's hollow.
Toys, kind
it's
of.
Hollow. Yeah, they float. But it'll sometimes get water in there, and then that would make it sink. But since they're hollow, they float on the top.
Gotcha. I've been using like rooster tails, like small.
So like with light a spinner like, on it,
yeah, like spin jigs.
That's why you're not catching bass.
Those are good for different fish. Yeah,
yeah. Dude, just throw a simple senko. Just throw a simple little worm bait. Boop.
Yep. So I have been excited about TTRPG systems three times in my life. The first was when I learned D&D with Mario. The second was when I found out what Delta Green was. And I don't get me wrong, I've learned a lot about a lot of different systems, Call of Cthulhu, Pathfinder, Starfinder, all that kind of stuff. But like that real feeling, it's only happened three times. And the third time was with Mothership when I learned about this game. It's so fucking cool. And when I bought like the fucking limited edition expansion packs and all the fucking bells and whistles. When I read through all the contents of all the like player handbook, and they have like their monster manual thing. Like, I got chills. This game is so fucking cool. It plays a lot like Delta Green. Combat is rare and deadly. You don't have, like, skills per se, but it's the setting. So it's set in, like, I think they call it, like, cassette sci-fi, where it's like aliens, like the alien universe. It's like that, but it's like a survival horror. And it's so much fucking fun.
Have you played it on the other end, or are you just running it?
I'm just running it. I don't play. You guys don't let me.
I don't know if you tried it out.
No. Still
That's
don't.
That's crazy how stuck that is.
But yeah, if we ever have time to play a one-shot, that system is so fucking cool. There's like a panic system. So like, you know how you lose sanity in Delta Green? In this, the more stress that you gain, there's two different kinds of like like sanity checks. One is a stress check, the other one's a panic check. So the more and more you stress out, you just accumulate more and more stress. And whenever you have a panic check, you have to roll a d20. And if you roll under what your stress is, you panic. And there's like different levels to panic between like just like an adrenaline rush to like all the way up to just like flat out having a heart attack. But I'll wrap this up because I want to get to what we're actually playing. My favorite rule in that whole game, and it's something that I would love to be able to incorporate into all my games. When you make a death saving throw in Mothership, I'm called a warden in Mothership, so whoever's running the game rolls it secretly, puts it in a cup, rolls it, and puts it upside down, just on the table like that, and no one's allowed to see the result of the death save until somebody spends a turn checking your vitals. So like there's a good chance like you're just dead and like the dice is sitting right there, like the dice is there and you can't take a look until somebody checks your vitals. It's really fucking cool.
Do you still roll three? Well, at least three?
No, there's just one.
What's
cool is how the health system works is you have max health and you also have a number of wounds. So you typically have like between 20 to 30 health, like hit points, and between 2 to 3 wounds. So when your health goes to zero, you gain a wound and then start back up at full. And the wounds, there's a whole table for it, whether you get it from like slashing damage or bullets or whatever. They have different like levels of intensity for like how this wound manifests in your character. Once you get to your maximum wounds and, you know, your minimum hit points, then you do just one death save throw. And it's just on the table until someone spends a turn to check on you. Super fun, but like that philosophy for game design worms its way into the whole game itself. It's very, very cool. Anyway, we're playing Dungeons and Dragons. So, adrenaline fades, blurred vision focuses to reveal a scene in the sands. 4 warforged torn apart, coalescing red vapor from 2 of them quickly evaporating beneath the desert sun. Levi, Cree, Honto, and Bentivania catch their breaths as Rook approaches with the cart and mule. Asan, a ways away, seemingly beginning to wrangle his own steeds, as well as Bentivania's tortoise, Tuga, making his way towards the group. What do you guys want to do?
Is there any way, like, but perhaps by rolling a history check, that we can identify where these things came from?
How would you go about identifying it? Just, are you looking for information on Warforge in general, or are you kind of looking over these quote-unquote corpses?
Yeah, I want to inspect them.
Okay, roll investigation.
Okay. Oh, that's a D12.
Taking a look over them, and there's 4, and they're kind of spread across. One is on one side of the road near the dunes. The other 3 are basically off to the other side. You're beginning to investigate them. I'll catch up with you. Is there anything that you 2 want to do? Bentivania kind of stands there, sheaths his sword, just kind of like stretches out and almost looks towards Asan, who's closing the distance. What are the 2 of you doing? And Rook, I'm sorry, you basically pull up with the cart.
I just want to basically check on everybody's health.
Just kind of taking a look, seeing, you know, who's got wounds and stuff like that?
Yep.
Okay.
Can I go up to the one that you said's kind of away from everybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go up to that Warforged, and I want to try to take this thing's soul. I want to pull out my, this little bag of this white like rock dust, mm-hmm. and put it in a circle around and then start to screw my this big light tube into the sand.
Gotcha. You're beginning that process. Anything that you're doing, Honto?
No, Honto's just sitting exactly where he was when the last enemy fell. He got a little beaten up, so.
Yeah, and Rook kind of makes his way towards you, analyzing not only your body language, but your bleeding a bit, burns, kind of charred fur on your chest. He looks hurt.
I want to heal him.
With what?
My healer kit.
Okay. Do you want to roll it, or do you want him to roll it?
Him roll it.
1d6, you said?
Yep.
1d6 plus 4.
Plus 4. 1d6 plus 4 plus,
and plus
your...
additional hit points equal to the creature's maximum number of hit dice.
Which would be your level.
2.
So plus 6.
Okay.
And what does this look like?
I said this before, I think.
Because it's not magical.
I said it
oh,
when,
right.
I, when
it,
I
like
healed,
creams
when I,
and like
healed,
salves and stuff?
No, there was like vines and
no,
stuff.
No. Because so this is more like you're like literally using the contents of the kit.
Oh.
Yeah. So this isn't magic
yeah, like
in any
tinctures,
way.
Tinctures, like little like maybe I'm like blotting. Bloop, bloop. You know what I mean? Shit like that.
I'm going to write something on a piece of paper and hand it to Michael Finn. So what does this look like?
You can finish that if you want.
No, it's not a lot. It's not. I mean, comparatively, the last time that I did this was
the basilisk.
The basilisk, and it was like a bigger kind of hue to it, and it went into a separate this separate one that I had on the other side of me. This separate light tube. But this just looks almost like a wisp, like a white wispy smoke that comes out and very quickly is enveloped into this almost like vacuum. This light bulb. Yeah.
Goes right in.
Mm-hmm.
Cree, couple things you notice. First of all, these Warforged seem different from each other. There are two which seem almost like, I don't want to say better constructed, but two of them are definitely like decayed and rusted out a lot more. The two that seem almost like a larger build, those were the ones that you noticed had these glowing red eyes and this red coalescence within like a central kind of chamber within their chest. All four of them, though, have a symbol that's carved or almost stamped into them. It's a skull with no jaw and 8 spiked points radiating from out of it. I'm going to send you a picture of it.
Nice.
And I don't know if Kree would recognize it as such, but just out of character and to Alex, it looks like machinery stamped.
Gotcha.
Beyond that, just on that preliminary roll of a 13 from investigation, these Warforged were definitely not behaving typically. That you know, is fair to say. The only Warforged that we've interacted with during this campaign so far were the hosts of Chain Restaurant, which were just normal, almost like people. These were not that, for sure. Beyond that, you feel
is
like there's some stuff that escapes your understanding at this point.
I'm sorry, is that a printed image?
Yes.
That you took a picture of?
Yes.
That looks like real.
I cropped it very well.
Okay, it looks like textured and shit. It looks like you actually have that on your fucking... like in front of you right now. That's wild. I don't need to see it. I'm just saying that's so weird. I'm sorry. So I don't recognize the symbol, correct?
That I would need a history roll for.
Okay. So you want, I'll roll?
Yeah.
Okay.
Follow up history roll.
Four.
No, you do not.
Okay. All right, cool.
Bentivania and Asan reconvene, and it seems like the two of them are talking to each other outside of your guys' earshot. Rook, you finish up healing Honto. Levi, you finish your thing, which honestly, I would say that nobody notices.
Okay. And not to be deceitful, I'm going to go up and try to drag these three other Warforged to the horse.
Gotcha. Okay.
In as compact of a circle as I can.
Pulling them to the
once
sands.
He's done looking at them.
Yeah, and I would say you guys probably like meet each other like halfway. So, Kree, after you finish looking over this last Warforged, Levi steps up to begin like dragging it through the sand.
Yeah, I see, I'll step back, like seeing Levi as he, right, as you're like kind of dragging him along. And I'm going to say, they're quite heavy. What do you need them for?
The souls, they ain't no use to these things.
They have souls?
I mean, one over there did. I thought I'd give it a shot. You saw that red-eyed. They got something in there.
Yeah, but, okay, are we taking them? Is that what's happening? Or?
I don't know about you. Did you need some not. For...
Looking at it, would anything benefit me if he could disassemble or remove?
Like physical parts of it?
Yeah.
That would, carrying over your 13 investigation check, there's some pieces of metal that are, you know, not bad, but nothing that would be worth an amount of gold based on the weight of it. Maybe some of the inner workings that, like, you're not too familiar with. Maybe some of, like, the, for lack of a better word, and it's not what it is, but, like, the circuitry within. Maybe some precious metals in there. You're not really sure.
Now I'm just taking the real inside. Not any of the components or nothing. So if you want to dig through them after, I got no qualms.
No, it's not worth it. If it's heavier than this sword, and then I take my sword out and wave it around, it's like, then it's too heavy for me.
You want an eye or something?
I don't think I... What would I do with an eyeball? I'm okay.
Trophy? I don't know.
Bentivenia kind of steps up a little bit. What does it look like? What were these?
I don't know, but take a look at the symbol there. Maybe you do. And I point to the skull.
He kind of, like, puts his boot on the head and, like, rolls it over to the side and takes a look. I don't know. He looks towards
I want to call to Asan.
Yeah, and Asan kind of begins stepping up. They're close to people. Almost like people. Would you take a person's arm?
Not if I didn't have no use for it. No.
I just see it as the same way. I don't mind if you take their eyes, like you said, or whatever, but it's just a little... I don't know.
It's a little what?
Grim.
Grim?
Macabre.
Look over there. Grim? That was almost him. Why do you give a shit?
Well, I don't. Like I said, you can do it if you want. I just think it's... Warforged are close to people. In some places, they're treated like people.
Leviticus. I'm, like, coughing up a little blood. It would never have been me.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But if you're asking me if I would take another man, a human soul, if I'm debating between human
soul?
And a... Oh, yeah. Sorry, I ain't taking no body parts. That was just a little joke. But if you want an eye...
No, I just said I don't.
But no, I'm just taking the souls.
He's gonna make a roll. Take their souls. How?
I'll show you, but you gotta move out of this circle here, or else I'm gonna take yours too.
Take mine?
If you don't move out it's. I'd have to kill you first. It's a whole thing. But please, if you could, it's not gonna work right. I'll show you.
What are you doing?
Harvesting their souls.
How?
I'll show you.
Fuck. He kind of, like, grabs the edge of his breastplate and, like, takes a step back, but doesn't exit the circle. Just kind of puts a step between you and him. I don't want you to show me. Do you do this? You take souls? He takes souls? He looks over towards pretty much everyone else. Who are you? What is this?
I'm Leviticus Cain. I thought we covered that, like, 6 days ago. Listen here, we all got our stuff. I don't think anybody here needs to go in depth on everything. I don't know if you want to tell us all about you, but it's all right to have our own things. And we've been staying out of them pretty well.
Souls are a little different. You take them and what do you do with them?
I harvest them.
For what end?
Oh, for consumption and for helping people. There's all different use for souls.
that's a person's being. That's their light. You're blocking these people from getting to the next plane. Do you know that? This isn't a commodity. No, it's not.
To me, it is. I need them. I use them. It's worthwhile.
You've done this a lot.
Oh, yeah. Most of my life.
He looks towards the rest of the group. And you let him do this?
We wouldn't let them do it to anyone that didn't deserve it.
These...
Bingo. Now you want to meet some real badasses. Them's them people and taking them no matter what. They tricking you and giving you your soul. Them's bad mans. These all tried to kill us about 30 seconds ago.
But Warforged are... They're... taught what to do. This isn't...
And men are taught what to do, and sometimes they go down the wrong path. What the hell's the difference? You just said it. No different than a human. So why are we treating them any different?
I don't see it that way. If you were to treat them like a human and you steal their souls, bar them from entry to whatever paradise they're destined for your own benefit, regardless of whether or not they were good or evil, that doesn't matter. If these are evil souls, then they're destined for the abyss or hell. And you're barring them from entry there, where they would belong.
Well then, hell, they owe me a thank you. Never thought about it that way.
Shakes his head. I would need you to roll persuade for me.
That was such an amazing answer.
Or a persuasion check.
Twenty-one.
And if I died, you'd take my soul.
Were you trying to kill me?
What if I tried to kill you now?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't think about it.
You're a sick, sick and twisted man.
Did I ask you for judgment?
And I'm dishing it out anyway.
Now kindly, get the fuck out of my circle.
Steps back, kicks sand, kind of disrupts the circle, turns tail and walks back towards his tortoise.
I finish the circle, I stick the pole into the ground, twist it in, open it up to suck the souls and just sit there whistling, looking right at him.
What's everyone else doing?
So I wanted to say that I had in my head that I was kind of back. I wasn't really in whatever this circle is, and I was just literally like feeding Tuga and Turnip and just kind of like kind of hearing it from afar. But I imagined that I was with Tuga and Turnip, which would make him be approaching me.
Right? Yeah. Kree and Honto?
I still didn't move from the spot that... I got healed in, so I guess I'm sitting relatively close.
Kree? I would say you would probably be the closest.
Yeah, I'd step back out of the circle and just pop a squat and like sharpen my sword as this is all going down.
Take a point of inspiration, too.
I'm already at 3. I gotta use these.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
So you begin going through your process, and I'll get to that in a second, but Rook kind of... Bentivania steps up, and you can see him, his grieve, his, gloves are clenched as he's walking up.
Does it look me in the eye?
No, it looks like he makes his way over to Tuga, and if you're kind of nearby, will, like, maybe even, like, bump into your shoulder as he gets close.
He's a good man.
He... saddles up on top of Tuga, just kind of like pats the neck. I'm gonna scout ahead, see what we're planning on running into. Pulls the reins a little bit.
I walk back towards them.
So, Levi, while you're going through this process, Asan is pretty close, too. He doesn't seem too bothered by it, but during, you know, the... I don't even know what to call it. Ritual? Procedure? What do you prefer?
Ritual.
Ritual. Asan will speak up. I would appreciate no infighting amongst the party I've contracted.
I would appreciate the same. I mean, I didn't ask him about why he's not taking off the damn armor. And I wouldn't. I wouldn't cross that line if he doesn't cross lines with me.
Intelligent discussion doesn't need to get nasty.
I ain't started. I'm good at finishing it, but I ain't started.
I'm not a school teacher. I'm not chastising you. You can do as you wish, but if it affects your synergy in protecting me, it's an issue for me.
I can assure you it will not, sir.
Do you mean that?
Yes.
He kind of nods, steps back, and makes his way back to his beasts of burden. So the contents of this, for what it matters to you, the other larger one has similar soul to the first one. The two smaller ones do not have that. They have a soul similar to that of the basilisk and the horse as well.
It has one similar to the basilisk?
Correct.
Once we're all done, I kind of take a look at the two colors, which are kind of now murky, and it's like a little pink in there now. Mm. Shit. I kick away the dust, or the powder around the circle, and strap my stuff back in.
Asan saddled up, and you guys can see Bentivania continues off in the distance, but never really goes out of eyesight, but he's still probably maybe 150 yards away from you guys. Asan gets closer.
We were warned of many things in the Grand Erg. Warforged were not one of them. What do you make of this?
Did Asan look at the symbol, by the way?
I don't believe he did yet.
Okay, well, I do want to show him wherever Levi's dragging the corpses, whatever. I want to point out, truth be told, I don't know what this symbol is. I suggest you look at it, maybe. You seem to know this land better than we do.
He leans down and takes a look.
It looks familiar. I know of a few things related to Warforged. Most Warforged who are made for their original intents, which you can imagine is war, come from the Iron Blood Cartel. They are a profiteer of war. They are a coalition of artificers. They have plants and facilities across Ticinia. They design and manufacture and sell Warforged designed for killing to interested parties. I don't recognize this symbol exactly, but they do make various models. There's also some other factions. The Steelborn Menagerie is one I've ran into before. They study and augment animals. It's what the horse reminded me of. Put in artificial limbs and robotic augments, metal gunpowder weaponry in normal animals. Beasts of metal conglomerated together. I remember once, many years ago, coming across a trader who was selling bears with iron bear trap jaws. He had rabbits with explosive sulfur stomachs. I don't know. It's worrying nonetheless, especially considering no one who's been here recently has warned me of any of that.
C- Kree is like kind of spooked here and all that. Like Kree's like, what the f-? Like they do all that up here? But he's like, well, if we took care of you know, the few that we just fought, you know, I still can assure you, you are in good hands. I give him a little tap on the shoulder.
Roll insight.
Okay. Seventeen.
He flinches a little bit, indicating that he's probably spooked too.
Okay.
Regardless, travel to the Castillo should take one more day. Perhaps we make it there by midday tomorrow. Go in, get my replacement axle, and we'll leave for Fort Chasm.
Good.
Well, shall we?
Okay.
Mounting up and continuing back into the desert along this chalk road.
All right. I said it before, right before we started the fight last session. Forgot about the traps. Hunting traps.
Yes.
Can I?
I,
what are we going to do about that?
I will say...
We kind of just rolled in the morning. We didn't say shit. And then I was like, fuck.
I will say this. One, it should have been your responsibility to remember them. But I will give you an out. I'll let you take the traps back, but they're empty.
Bingo. That's what I was looking for.
You got it. You're like, oh, fuck, I forgot the traps, and you look in your bag, you never put them out.
Fuck, that was a dream.
It was a dream.
Fuck, I must have been... I
next
must,
time for sure.
Must have been meditating.
So, continuing on, the travel picks up pace. Bentivania noticeably leading the pack with a... breadth of distance between him and Asan's cart that's still in the middle, you guys taking up the back. We're still kind of earlier in the day, I would say maybe about, well, I'd say like midday. As this travel progresses, any conversations that you guys have, and also what's the situation with the cart? And I do want to ask too, Honto, I know that you're a little injured, but are you still keeping pace, actively walking?
I was going to say, for the rest of that day, I think, because up until the next rest... short rest, right? I want to try to like bum a little bit off of like sitting on Asan's cart.
Oh, okay.
Because he's got a little heftier stuff and less yeah. people. I'm worried we're not using the.
There's even like rig. There's even like a spot like what do you call them on trucks? Like the runners where it helps you like get into the truck. He's got those on his cart to help him get on the cart. It's easy to just kind of pop a squat there.
Yeah, and the first time I'm up there, right after the fight, I'm sure you couldn't spare just for the rest of the afternoon an extra passenger. I don't weigh too much.
You're welcome to consider that. Your injuries are part of my own causing, perhaps.
No, it's, you need to be broken down before you can build yourself up.
I do not believe that to be true, no.
Different philosophies often can reach the same high point on the mountain.
Perhaps. What do you, make of travel thus far?
It was much uneventful up until that fight. I don't know. I haven't had too much of an issue with it. I'm exploring and gaining experience as a part of the guild.
You're local to King Kadeen?
No.
No?
No. I come from the bog in the south.
I've traversed many lands... but that is one that I will not step foot in. Dangerous, treacherous place.
I suppose to an outsider, yes. If you know your way, is not all that bad. If you ever find yourself there, tell them you know Shadow, Bigfoot, and yours truly, Honto.
But is that a gang?
No. Friends. I'm sure of it.
So you came from the bog to here? By boat?
No, I crossed through the mountain.
Wide-eyed expression. Almost like he's talking as he's handling the reins and then just kind of like turns and like actually now makes eye contact with you.
Do I think he believes me?
Based on this, I would say roll insight.
20, not nat.
Immediate belief, yeah.
I came through the mountain pass with a guide, of course. He was skilled. I was seeking more experience and, it's more civilized up in the north, you know. So, I'm here now.
That is no small feat. It's something to be proud of. People have traveled that mountain pass and made a name for themselves.
Yes.
Not something to be mentioned in casual conversation. Something people lead with. Very impressive.
Well, I suppose I myself have never been one to have been brought up in casual conversation.
You may rest as long as you like.
Have you been to the Bell Pits?
Bell Pits. They are fighting pits.
Where are they from here, from Kincaidin?
Oh, far south of Mosaine Chavain. Further south than the place where the cactus flowers bloom. It is a ways away.
But we are on the way there, are we not?
Technically, yes. But there are many spots that are closer still. Many fighting pits that are closer still.
I was never afraid of a long journey, Hassan.
It is a gruesome place. I began my start transporting as a ferryman across the sands for people to go from Mosaine Chavain to the Bell Pits to witness the fights. Large, large scale fights. Many, many people. But they fight to the bitter end there.
Mm-hmm. As I would expect.
He nods.
I will visit one day.
I wish not to return, to tell you the truth. And I imagine it's only gotten worse. But there are many fighting pits across Ticinia. That is one of several.
Are there any more? What are the ones locally? The larger ones locally.
The larger ones, I would say the Bell Pits would be one of the largest, if not the largest. Closer still, you have the Selene Pits, which are still close to Mosaine Chavain, but I would say that would be the closest. The Selene Pits, the Hadris Pits are closer still, but you would need to return to Kincaidin and head north. There are the Thalos Pits within the 12-fold reach. The Bell Pits are one of the larger fighting pits because they were one of the first.
I appreciate your insight on the topic, Hassan. I like traveling with you. You are a wise leader, as the leader of our traveling group.
Oh no, I'm just old.
Well, you show good.
Thank you.
And I'll kind of just dip back and mm-hmm. chill.
Any other conversations on the cart during the rest of this day's travel?
Oh, why is Benty such a fucking pussy?
Did you actually say that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. No, but Rook does want to talk.
Levi, what was all that with Benty?
I just find it inconsiderate, you know, getting another man's business like that. We all help each other. All help each other in the fight, all stayed alive, and we all have our things. Y'all leave it go, y'all see no issue.
What
doesn't relate
to
you.
You.
What if he tried to kill me?
Yeah.
What if he tried to kill me, Rook?
I think we would kill him.
I like that we're at that point. I appreciate that. Hey, I'd kill for you, too. Anybody.
Told him you were a good man. He didn't answer.
And I hope you believe that.
There's something odd with him. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Hey, that's my thing, though. I ain't trying to figure nothing out. You do you. You want to live, armor on all the time? Hurting like that? Hey, be my guest. Ain't no skin off my back.
And we walk.
Continuing on, day becomes night, and quickly the sun sets, revealing a moon that sheds a brightness reflective off of the chalk road. Bentivania is the first one to kind of pull off of the trail, finding a flat spot to erect a camp, which Asan abides by, follows up behind him, begins unpacking his camp-making materials. What do you guys do?
Help unload the carts. Set up my portion of camp as well. Are the Warforged? We got the Warforged?
I don't think that you guys mentioned that you took them.
Okay, we left them? Okay. Yeah, just hop off.
Bedding down, Asan begins making a fire. Bentivania is quiet as he unrolls his bedroll and kind of lays on his side with his back facing the camp.
Levi would like to go leave and forage.
For what specifically?
Do I know what would be out in the desert from just being out here for a couple days?
There are a few. Are we talking for food or for alchemical purposes?
Alchemical.
Give me this. Roll a nature check. There's a few that you're going to know for sure, but for the more nuanced alchemical ingredients.
Nine.
Most common in the desert, which can pretty much be found anywhere within the desert, is going to be feather grass, iron root, and blood vine. Do you begin a endeavor into foraging?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you go through those first 15 minutes of foraging. Don't find much. It seems pretty barren here. Do you want to continue on?
Yeah, go about probably like an hour total.
You want to go for an hour total?
Yeah.
Okay. So do me a favor and roll a nature check. Whatever you roll, you can add 6 to.
22.
You find a decent amount of, I would say, specifically fire bloom, which is not too hard to find, just kind of scattered about. As well as feather grass, and with that roll, I would also say that probably right near the end, by the time that you're like, I'm a little too far, maybe I gotta head back, you see a stump of what you recognize as heart stem. Kind of scrape a little bit off. I would say for the most part, you get maybe close to like of material that you know that you can use for alchemical purposes, probably about a gram of each.
Okay.
Because these herbs and specifically the bark as well, like the shavings there, not all of it is usable, and you know how to kind of parse through what is usable and what isn't.
Okay. That's all that I wanted to do.
Anyone else want to do anything at camp? Night has fallen.
Yeah, I'm going to meditate, like, regularly, and then I'm going to set... When I'm done meditating, I'm going to set one trap in a spot right around where I meditated. The spot that I think is good.
Okay, yeah. So go ahead and roll a survival check for me. With advantage, since you've got that training.
21.
21, yeah. So you set it up, you feel like it's well placed, for sure.
Sick.
Yeah, I want to pray, too, to see the row.
Any specific contents of the prayer?
Just kind of... asking for, like, mental strength and endurance, especially after getting spooked about the Warforged.
So, bedding down and taking your watch shifts?
Yeah.
Okay. Your watches each end uneventfully, a quiet night amidst the almost like whistling sound of sand that carves through the dunes. You awake to the sun, probably the smells of the campfire as Asan is cooking breakfast.
Check that trap.
Stepping over to check the trap, you see snared and wriggling a desert hare that has been caught by the neck.
Bang. I get that thing. Rush it over to Asan. I see. Asan.
Still alive, like railing in your hands.
Oh no! I go up to a quick cut it. Quick cut it.
Yeah. Spurt of blood that just kind of soaks up into the sand.
Yeah, I'm trying to move as quick as possible because I know Asan is already cooking. Mm-hmm. I went to go get the traps. So I run it over to him.
Yeah.
Asan, is there anything you could do with this?
Oh yes, I can. He grabs it by the nape. Breakfast for the four of yous.
Breakfast for us. Sure, if that's fine.
I will be more than happy to. And you can see him, and it's this really, like, it's quick and skillful, just a very visceral, just kind of, because he, and you notice now, he's got talons as well. He kind of runs across the neck all the way around the back of the neck to make a circle to separate the head from the body, and just kind of peels his two talons underneath on the back and just quickly rips off the skin, leaving this naked, exposed rabbit. Puts it down. It looks like he's beginning to butcher it. Anything that you guys do during these preparations in the morning here?
What's Benti doing?
Looks like he's tending to Tuga and he's very quiet. And he's definitely being emo. For Good sure.
I'm not doing wrong.
Time passes. Asan prepares the rabbit. Almost like a catchatory mixed with the different rations that he has at his disposal, but definitely makes a pot big enough for the four of you to enjoy. So if you do consume this food, you won't have to check off a ration for yesterday, I would say.
Hell yeah, eat that shit.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Can I also ask, was this a short rest?
Yeah, so this counts as a short rest. If you guys want to use your hit die to heal any kind of damage that you have, you're more than free to.
Cool.
You can use as many of your hit die as you want. You can save one. You can save both of them, whatever you want to do, if you want to use them.
And those just recover after a long rest?
Yes.
Okay. I always wondered that, because we never played long enough for that to, like, come into effect that you always say, and you regain your hit die.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Sorry, is it plus your constitution modifier?
Yes, forget. Yep. Yeah. Whatever your hit die is, and then plus your constitution modifier. Kree, you are sitting there, maybe eating your food or sharpening your sword or whatever, but you feel a hand kind of rest on your shoulder. Look up and see Bentivania, and you feel like this kind of warmth come over, and he's going to heal you for 4 hit points.
My guy, Bentivania. as he heals me, I want to just like write it on his hand, and then I say, "Can I ride Duga with you today?"
No.
Okay.
So, as you guys kind of begin breaking camp, Bentivenia gets back on his tortoise, and Asan gets back on his caravan. Asan looks out towards the four of you, probably like finishing breaking camp, and he goes, "We should be there in a few hours. I don't imagine it should take us long. We might not even stay there the night. There's safety there, if that's what you choose, but should be a quick in and out, and we'll be back on our way."
Let's do it. Let's go.
Yep.
Before we get in, this is a spot to do any trading.
I would say, yeah, the castle is fairly large. The castle grounds cover a small village.
I hope it's not too much to ask. Is there any way you could give us some payment for what we've already done, possibly, so we could trade?
Roll persuade.
Nat 1.
My hands are tied due to contractual obligations with the guild. If word gets out that I paid some of my people ahead of time, then the next that I hire will expect it as well. I apologize, I'm sorry. The gold I gave you up front should more than cover whatever expenses you may have in town.
Yes, okay.
Asan, all the respect, I mean, we're brand new to the Adventurers Guild. We have nobody to tell. If you do have something, I mean, it's only going to help all of us.
Roll
to protect you, especially.
Roll persuade with disadvantage.
Okay.
Ain't lying.
Eight.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He begins to motion his cattle back onto the main chalk road. Guys mount up?
Yeah.
Okay. Beginning to make your way. About an hour goes by before you notice one of those banners again with the metal rod and the tattered cloth. This one's a little different though, as impaled through the top of that rod is the head of a warforged. Just kind of see it as it passes by. Another 15 minutes.
Can I make a note of it on this crude map that I'm drawing?
Yeah, you kind of mark it. Another 15 minutes before you see another one with the head smashed through the top. Another 10 minutes, and then another one, another 5 minutes, and then another one before you see a row, probably about a dozen on either side, 24, maybe 30 in total, lining. Some of them have the banner on them, some of them do not, but all of them contain the impaled head of a warforged. Asan kind of rears his cattle back up, looks back towards you guys, and just kind of looks almost like expectantly. Probably be looking at Rook.
Can you take their souls?
I don't know if I want... I want to deal with that asshole again. And probably not. It's been, I don't know how long they've been out here. I could tell if it was a humanoid, but I can't really tell robots, and there's a time angle to what I do to when the soul leaves, so .
During this conversation, you guys notice Bentivenia dismounting off of the tortoise and ripping down one of the banners and stuffing it into his bag.
I want to go do the same thing, actually. I want to grab a banner too and just put it in my pouch.
Okay. Yeah. You have one of the banners. Asan kind of... I'd say as you're doing this, he looks off towards you and says,
"I would say that we tread carefully, but I am no warforged."
If anything, this is a sign of protection, no?
Seems like it to me, yes. I think you're right.
How far out are we from the town?
A few hours. Yeah. Maybe two. This curve looks familiar.
And this was not here last time you came?
Absolutely not, no. And Hammy, he did not mention anything of this.
We can't just assume it's safe.
You are trapped. You are my caravan guard. However you want to proceed is copacetic to me.
I say we keep going at the same pace, and if we see anything else, we stop.
I think we'll be fine. Maybe this place we're going to is already dealt with the Warforged themselves, and this is their sign of warning to the rest of them.
You say you are well traveled, as we said yesterday, but have you seen anything like this ever? Because I have not, and it is very discomforting to me.
Can I roll, like, roll to...
Yeah, if you want to roll history, sure. Okay.
11.
Your understanding of Warforged is that they're almost just like another race. It's not like they're autonomous or inherently evil, so it is a little strange. Your picture of it almost comes out as if any other race could have their heads on these spikes.
Mm-hmm.
But you've never seen it before now. Not like this.
It's, like you said yourself, my son. It's not our heads on this spike that they're keeping out, and the thing that's on this spike is the thing that tried to kill us, so... The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Isn't that what they say?
Suppose. Oh, then we continue on. Maybe a little more observant.
Yeah.
Remounting and continuing on. The remaining 3 hours pass by with intermittent spikes such as these. They are not consistent, and they are not in high volume as you will have seen here as you guys continue on. But hour, two, three... Before, you see, almost as if you were in an elevated position and there's this, the chalk road which leads down and curves to the left with a small path extending off of it. But you basically get a good view of what I'm about to describe, which is this massive Gothic style castle. And it's wider than it is tall. It's stout, made of this blackened brick. And it stands distinct as a contrast between the bright, reflective desert that you see all around it and this dark, dark-colored brick. And even from this distance, you can note silver-colored veins that almost run through it. You can see in the center this massive set of doors, and above that is this large, rose-colored stained glass window that glints almost like blindingly, like if you were to look at the sun as it catches it. And around this castle, almost like coiling in its pattern, is this big fortified wall of similar black stone, but it's like spiked and riveted with metal reinforcements that are on it. There is, like I mentioned, coming off of this chalk road, a thin, winding, thinner road that snakes its way to what looks like a main gate, this towering portcullis. It's flanked by what look like two statues, but they're crumbled, and it leaves only like the bases and what you see is like 2 feet on either of these statues that flank the portcullis that seems to lead within. And from this viewpoint too, you can see within the castle walls, you can actually see the courtyard of the castle. And Rook, you see probably the first thing that you notice, palm trees within the courtyard of this castle, maybe a garden. But notably, beyond the castle and its grounds, which seem to have people milling about, they look like ants from this distance, you see a scattered village of buildings and houses and plots of farmland which are seemingly barren. You also see windmills and grazing camel and maybe a church or two, you're not sure. All encircled by this wall which surrounds the main castle. Asan kind of leans back, looks at you guys, just kind of gives a nod and continues on.
Have we stopped seeing these spikes or up on this hill? Can we see that they're still leading into the city?
You do not see them, no.
Okay.
And they definitely do not seem to, like, lead to this city.
Mm-hmm.
Rook just keeps going.
Continuing on, now breaking off of the chalk road onto this path that leads to the portcullis, which is closed. You see black metal that just kind of like in this crisscross pattern, probably about 500 yards, 400 yards, 300 yards, 200 yards, 100 yards, 50, 25. No other people around outside of this gate. You can see beyond what looks like armored guards donning silver armor with red fillery and almost like outlines. There's a word for it. Accents on this armor. Asan steps off and Bentivenia kind of like pulls off to let Asan take the lead. Asan puts his cattle in park, jumps off, brushes off his overalls, looks towards Rook, who would probably be the first person that he sees. I will get a sentry. We will enter and pick up my axle and we'll go. Would any of you like to approach with me?
Are those the same colors that you saw last time you were here?
Of the armor?
Point to there. Yes.
Yes, those are similar sigils to the Avon family, yes. Hopefully not okay. Under new management. I have good rapport with the Count and Countess.
I'll approach with you.
Gives a nod. Bentivenia seemingly standing guard and looking from where you guys came from. Asan passes by, along with Honto, and you guys approach this portcullis, and you can see two guards peering out from beyond. As you're approaching, Asan says, "The blacksmith is inside. We will just get entry."
Okay.
Closing the distance, Asan steps up. The guards meet his glance, and Asan goes, "I'm here for Amadeo, the blacksmith." One of the guard kind of like looks up, readjusts his helmet. "Amadeo he's dead." Kind of Asan looks around, confused for a second. What of his apprentice, Adam? The guard, you can even see from this distance, like rolls his eyes. Then the other guard nudges him and kind of like leans in for a second and they begin whispering to each other. Asan kind of just like glances over to you, back at the whispering guards. The one who was talking to him says, "We'll raise the gate, you can enter." They split off and the gate begins to raise.
And they're like gone off before we can even get in, pretty much? Or
no, it seems like they are using the mechanics to raise the gate by themselves.
Yeah,
seemingly based on the noise.
I wanna walk in the gate. Yeah.
Walk right through?
Yeah.
Stepping in reveals this, like I said, sprawling setup. So ahead of you is the castle. You also see some buildings kind of off to the right and left. And as you cross the threshold, you can see two chains on either side that both of the guards are actively lifting up. Asan notices that you step in. I'll gather the carts and we'll set up. I'll see if I can find his apprentice, perhaps.
What did you say his name was?
Adam is the apprentice.
Adam. Okay.
Amadeo. He's dead. Stupid. Walks back to the caravan. So you guys were all out of earshot for this conversation, but as Asan approaches, he says, "We will enter. The man I came to meet is passed away. I'll meet with his apprentice instead.
Friend of yours?
Yeah.
Sorry to hear it.
How?
I don't know. I'm sure his apprentice will have more information. Adam was always a smart kid. I'm sure he'll be doing okay. Let's get inside.
Onward.
Bentivania motions for his tortoise to come in, and everybody kind of brings all the carts inside. Few moments pass as you guys kind of clear up. Like, have you guys ever, like, walked into a bar with a huge group and you guys all just kind of, like, get off to the side before you, like, find either, like, a table or sit at the bar or whatever? It's kind of like what this is right now, as you guys kind of step in and the guards make sure that no one else is outside and begin lowering the portcullis. Reconvened and kind of having all the carts shacked off to one side. And Asan, Bentivania is also standing there too. He is definitely giving you some weird glances, Levi. Bentivania is. But Asan continues. So, the blacksmith shop, he works for the Avon family. He makes their horseshoes and their weapons. Hopefully Adam is continuing the trade and still keeping up with that, but I know where his shop is. It's close by, and he kind of points over to one of the buildings, and there's several buildings that are kind of spread out here. This one seems like it has half of the building closed off and the other half, like, open, almost like a patio. You can see even from this distance, and you're probably like 75 yards away, an anvil out there, as well as what looks like a forge that is unlit at this time. You can all explore or do whatever you'd like, but I need to speak with Amadeo's apprentice.
You think you need your guard for that?
Yeah, oh gosh, yes, I suppose so. Yeah. Perhaps not the full compliment, but I've never had a caravan guard before. He seems lost in thought as he begins closing the distance between where you are and this building that he's pointed out.
I'll go with him.
Same.
So we're all going to the blacksmith.
Yeah.
No.
Am I able to like lock up Turnip?
Yeah, so there's kind of like a wooden bar that extends on a couple like thick logs that seem like a spot to tie off horses, but it's easy enough to tie up
what's
Turnip.
What's Benty doing?
Benty is... Roll insight.
3.
Following everyone's lead as he notices the majority of you making your way to assist Asan in this blacksmith endeavor, he approaches as well.
Time up. Go. Mm.
Yep, and the other animals are also tied to this bar here. It's warmer within these walls, which is an odd feeling being out in the desert where it's probably somewhere between 80 to 90 degrees. In here, it is definitely warmer, almost as if like the breeze isn't here, and that breeze is a bit of a relief. But with these large walls, it's tough to get that respite from the sweltering sun. Sun closes the distance and quickly approaches this blacksmith shop, and the closer you get, the more it's easily recognizable as a blacksmith shop, although it is not demarcated as such. There is no hanging sign. This doesn't seem like it's a public shop or anything. As you get closer, you can hear the banging of metal on metal as you approach. The door is cracked open, and Asan, kind of with hurried steps, closes the distance. He presses his hand on the door, and whoever's closest, and this is kind of going to be like a cramped entryway, so whatever I'm describing, I'm not imagining all of you are catching the full picture. Younger man working on a smaller anvil within the shop. Looks like he's hammering out something small and rotating it between tongs, who looks up quickly as Asan rushes in and kind of like, he's human, gives this glance of recognition and says, "Asan." Asan nods and steps closer. He kind of looks back towards everyone kind of like behind him. The doorway's only big for one person to get through, and he just kind of like looks behind you guys. Moment of privacy, please.
I walk out.
Mm-hmm. I look to Hassan. Like, would you like give me a nod or send me off? Like,
he gives a nod.
Walk out.
You walk out as well.
I give Hassan a really inquisitive, like, good glaring look. And I'm just, can I? Honto felt weird about that interaction with the guards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, I don't want to ask him anything, but like, do I sense, does he look like he's got an uneasy pit? Like when we were dealing with the Warforged, like what?
Roll insight.
Because like, I'm on my face at least showing him that like, and through that interaction, I was kind of like, what the fuck was that? Like, why the fuck did they just whisper? And like, why were they looking you down when he said his name? Like, 16.
There's definitely something going on. There's definitely something weird, and that weird feeling that Honto is experiencing is likely justified. As far as what Hassan looks like, he looks confused more than anything.
Okay, he doesn't look like in duress.
He does not look in duress. Yeah. He does not look stressed out. He looks confused, but sad.
Okay.
Like, really sad.
Yeah, well, yeah. His boy's not there.
And as you guys kind of lock eyes, he kind of looks over towards a stool that's near the door.
All right, I'll go, like, make my way out with everyone. I'll like, stand right near the stool, kind of.
Stool's on the inside of the door.
Yeah. I'll go to the stool, and I just don't want to sit down. That's what, like, I'm gonna.
Yeah. You look like just, a bitch.
No. Because Honto's, like, on. He thought that was sus. Yeah. He thought like, let's not be too comfortable. And once I get to the store, I look at him again. And yeah. Does he look like he wants me to leave? Or
no,
okay?
You step over towards the stool and he gives a nod.
I'll close the door.
Close the door.
I don't even say anything to them. I close the door.
Now it's just the three of you in here.
Just the three of us.
My ear is pressed up against this door as close as possible. Just wanna say.
So when I describe whatever happens during this conversation to Honto, I'm going to have you roll a perception check and tell you what out of that conversation you hear. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yo, I want to say this too. If anything in this conversation is roping me in, I want to sort of say out loud some obvious things so they can hear it.
Okay. Well,
so you mean he'd like, you know,
are you really, you're,
not yeah. like loud, not like loud, but knowing that
I'll tell
sitting
you this.
Right there.
I'll tell you this. Chime in.
Okay.
If you want to do that.
Like, just, like, really subtle. Really, yeah. Like, you know, oh, really? Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, I really have a pet peeve where I play two NPCs talking to each other. So what I want to try to do is just kind of give you guys the guts of what is conversed here. Ah, no, fuck it. I'll roleplay. Why not? Hassan looks over towards this younger man, and he can't be more than 16, maybe 17. Seemingly banging out a nail. Hassan says, Amadeo is dead? The kid. Yeah. Warforged. They're all over the town. Rogue and just... It's bad, Hassan. It's really bad here. And Hassan... Where did they come from? What, they came from the family? They came from where? There's... Fissure. From the bakehouse. You've been, right? San nods. Near the back of the grounds split open and Warforged just poured out. They've been killing a lot of us. And they quarantined it, they closed it off, but they keep coming out. They're coming from here. Amadeo tried to blockade the door. This was 2-3 days ago, maybe. And they just broke in, eyes red like blood, and they just tore him to pieces, Hassan. Bit by bit, just ripped him apart, and I was hiding beneath the counter. I was in a cupboard. And Hassan just kind of, like,
nods. Is the situation under control now? Do they have it handled? The apprentice. We don't know. They won't tell us what's going on. Could you please, please talk to the Countess? Asan. Why would I talk to the Countess? I can talk to the Count. The apprentice. The Count isn't here. He went to King Kadeen on business. He's been gone. He has no idea that any of this is going on, and Countess Avon is in charge. A few of the lords, too. Asan nods. Well, Maya knows me. I can speak with her and see what's going on. We're getting past the point. I'm Amadeo. The apprentice says, his funeral processions are being handled by Sister Layla and the Countess. I think it's tomorrow. San nods. Well, then I'll talk to the Countess. I'll talk to Sister Layla. I'd like to stay for the funeral at least. But with whatever's happening here with the Warforged, I need to at least figure out what's going on. If you have it under control. What about Briggs? Is Briggs and the apprentice? Briggs is on the forefront. They have it quarantined off. I think they may have sunk wherever they were coming out of, but I can't be sure. Again, they're keeping it under wraps. They're not telling anyone. We lost close to 100 of us, Asan. Asan just kind of looks off, and then he looks back towards Honto. Adam, this is Honto. He is a part of my caravan guard.
The pleasure is mine, Adam.
I never thought that Asan would need a caravan guard, but it's about that time, right?
Need he did. We took out several Warforged.
You saw them on your travels here?
Several times. We did.
We have no idea what's going on. They won't let us out. They won't tell us what's going on. I'm sitting here like a moron making nails.
Why did the guards snicker at us when we asked about Amadeo?
Roll persuade.
3.
Asan looks over towards you and just kind of like shakes his head. Not like a I don't know, but like almost like it was a stupid question.
No?
Maybe I'll tell you later. It's nothing.
I mean, it's not related to the problem at all, in no way.
No.
That's what we're here to do, not just caravan him. We're here to solve the problems that come up for him.
At this point, my problem is that a close friend of mine is dead, and that's it. And Adam just kind of like peeks up. Asan, we're dying here. Asan shakes his head. I have business in Fort Chasm. Attend the funeral. And that's it. I'm sorry, Adam. I'll catch up with you later. I need an axle. We'll talk more. And Asan begins to make his way out.
I'll follow him on my way out before I leave the, you know, the room. I just want to say to Adam, if we'll eventually be making our way back to King Kadeen. There's a spot for more.
That's if they let me leave. The only living blacksmith now within this castle. I am sworn to them.
You could always sneak and be deceitful, and I'll start to walk out. Think about it.
He turns back towards a nail that he's continuing to hammer. So, during all of that, Kree, could you please roll me a perception check?
Yes. 20, not nat.
You got all that conversation.
Nice.
Any conversations on the outside of this building?
or if no conversations, then what are you guys doing?
I want to say, as I'm listening, if you guys are sticking around, which you don't have to, I'm relaying it, the information to them. I'm being like, oh, they warforged. Oh, warforged are coming up from the ground. There's a fissure in the down. Like, I'm just like fucking, you know, just relaying important information to them.
Of note, it looks like Bentivania has his back towards all of this. Still close to you guys, but almost like looking out around the town. Exiting the blacksmith shop are Asan and Honto. With your journey to the Abon Castillo completed, now within the gated walls, four of you find yourselves in a bit of a pickle. How you explore it is up to you when we pick up next session.
Thank you for listening to this installment of Shadow of the Seven, a Nasty Table production.